go talk about the Lions in week number one. Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, senior columnist and insider. He is standing by in the Meyer guest line. And Michael, when it was 38-10 and we're going into the fourth quarter, I'm saying I hope the Lions don't lose by 50. And then they gave us one of the most incredible quarters of football I've ever seen from the Lions.
It absolutely was. And the secondary thought was, let's not get anybody hurt. And it's always when the game's out of line, that's one of the things you think about. But that didn't happen. You know, credit the Lions for making it close. I don't think anybody's fooling themselves. It doesn't mean that they played great on Sunday, but for those 14 minutes or whatever it was, they really, you know, got it down to the last minute, had a chance to tie the game with less than a minute to go. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I just wish they would have taken some shots to the end zone there at the end. And it was stunning to watch because you kept saying to yourself, is this really happening? Are they a touchdown and another two-point conversion from one of the biggest and best and most unexpected regular season comebacks we've ever seen? But final score, 41-33. They lose. They make some bettors happy on the DraftKings Sportsbook app that took the Lions plus 8.5. But from that game, we get the news of Okuda today with the Achilles injury. He's out for the season. Sewell had a great grade from Pro Football Focused. He looked fantastic on Bosa at the left tackle, to the point that Bosa late in the game moved over to go up against the right tackle. Goff, as the game went on, he looked better. I really liked the way the team ran the football early against one of the better defensive units in the game. What's the good and bad you take away from week one for the Lions?
Well, I'm working on my column for DetroitLions.com right now, which we called What We Learned. And one of the things that you mentioned there is one of the things we learned, and that is that when Dan Campbell, the head coach, in the first week or two of training camp, was asked about the running game, you're going to have a 1-2 punch. And he said, yeah, they are, and we'll roll with the hot guy who's ever, if it's Jamal, we'll roll with him. If it's Swift, we'll roll with him. And I thought that's what they did. I thought that was the plan going in, was to run the ball, and I thought they ran it effectively. However, the plan got torpedoed when you get down by 38-10. And then you really can't. But just one thing, and that last comeback there, they got the ball back, I think it was with 52 seconds to go, 53 seconds, something like that. Really a great individual play by Trey Flowers. And let's give this guy some credit. He had played the second most snaps of any line on a defensive line, and still on his 3rd and 13, you know, flying leap to knock the ball away from Deebo Samuel. And he never quit, absolutely never quit. Just like he's always said, he has a personal commitment to play the game the right way. That gave the Lions a chance at it. But, yeah, I thought the run game was good. You look at the stats, and it will tell you, Huge, how the margin changes how you can play the game. First half, 17 carries and 88 yards. Second half, 7 carries, 28 yards. So they had it going, but they took themselves out of the running game by not stopping the 49ers.
Michael O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, senior columnist, insider when it comes to the Lions and the NFL. He's joining us on the Meyer guest line talking about the Lions and that opening season loss to the Niners. Well, why did it get so bad? I know the big one was the pick six where Goff forced that throw right before halftime. You had Okuda misplay the ball. He fell down when Samuel went in. I'm watching this game, and I was talking with listeners at Huge Show on Twitter, the Huge Show on Facebook, and even when they were down 31-10, I'm telling people, you know, the score is misleading because of a couple of plays, and I know the scoreboard doesn't lie. But I was seeing some positives, and it's not denial, which some tried to attribute to me, that I was seeing some things where I'm like, gosh, if, you know, not maybe today, but as the season goes along, this might start working. And what began that comeback was when they started some motion in their offense, and they started using Swift out of the backfield a little bit more, and he ended up scoring on that one little screen toss. I started to say, that's it. This is what you need to be doing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know, just one thing with what we were talking about the running game before, and when the Lions get taken out of their running game, that's a big deal. It really is. And you know, Dan Campbell spoke about that yesterday. I was either listening to his post game show or on at the podium. I forget which, but he said our margin for error is so small. We have to play a certain way, and I interpret that to mean, look, they just don't have the talent at wide receiver right now to really make the kind of plays that can, in a flash, to make the kind of plays that the 49ers did yesterday that just changed the game, and in so doing, changed the tempo. In other words, you know, down 24-10, you can still run the ball. You really can. 31, 38, no, you really can't, unless it's, unless it's a third and one and you want to get a cheap first down, you know, something like that. And I think that really hurt them. I think they're challenged in terms of talent offensively. That just stands out to me. The three leading receivers in the game Sunday. Number one, T.J. Hockenson, 8 catches, 10 targets. Number two, DeAndre Swift, 8 catches, I think he had 11 targets. I forget what it was. And number three, Jamal Williams, the running back. And that's it. The next were three wide receivers with 3 catches each. This is the National Football League of 2021. You have to have receivers who can threaten if you're going to win games on any kind of consistent basis in the National Football League.
Yeah, poor tackling. The one thing I'll take, and I kept telling people it's preseason when we were watching them go 0-3, that, oh, that will get better. They're just, it's, you know, guys trying to get a roster spot. And then I'm watching that game yesterday, and that's the NFL. It's top shelf all the way, Michael. And I'm looking at guys that aren't even making legitimate attempts to tackle early in that game.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, they get out of position and it makes it look worse than it is. In other words, in terms of effort, I don't think guys deliberately, well, I shouldn't say that. I've seen guys deliberately avoid contact, but it's from watching over a long period of time, too. I'm not saying it happens on every play or anything like that. But, you know, that was a problem last year. And one of the problems you've had the last 2, 3, 4 years is once a team gets on a binge, I mean a points binge, they haven't been able to get them off. And it happened again. You know, it happened, you know, numerous times last year. We just think about the Houston game on Thanksgiving Day that ultimately, you know, tipped the scales and got Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia fired. Something that would have happened at the end of the season anyway, but that just hurried it along. And it's just, they just can't seem to close the door on teams, and they still haven't been able to do. And I've seen some signs where I think that with this coaching staff and with what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish, they can correct that. But it's not going to happen overnight, and it's probably not going to happen against the Green Bay Packers 1 week from tonight at Lambeau. But at least I think it's something that just from being around the team, watching what they've worked on in practice at training camp, I think it's something that they can correct.
Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com columnist, insider, joining us on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show. Across Michigan. Michael, what is good is that the Lions are tied for first place or last place, depending on how you look at it, in the NFC North. Nobody looked good. Okay, maybe Minnesota, but they lost to Cincinnati, where they were a road favorite in Cincy. Bears didn't look bad. I actually give Dalton some credit in that Sunday night game, and Stafford looked good again against the Bears. He threw for over 400 as a Lion last year in that win at Chicago. But, and Rodgers looked uninspired. The most concerning thing, if I'm a Packers fan, that the visual, okay, and I know they were playing in Florida, and there's talk that the Saints wanted him in that hot, humid weather, right? But he even afterwards, he has that look like, man, did I make the right decision coming back? Not so much about just one game, but about, is my heart really in it?
Yeah, that's that, and it also could be, do I have to go through this again next year, too? He does, in one way or another. He's got a decision to make. Does he want to stay in Green Bay, or does he want to move on? And if he moves on and has a lackluster season, and I don't think he will. I think he'll right the ship. He's just too good not to. But he just looks more like he's more you know, like an 18-year-old who hasn't gotten a haircut in 3 months and wonder what his mother's going to say about his haircut. You know, he just got that look that there are other things in his life that are now intruding on how he feels about playing on Sunday. Now, this is Dr. O'Hara analyzing, you know, Aaron Rodgers. For all I know, he's going to throw 4 touchdown passes next Monday night against the Lions, and everything's going to be fine in Green Bay. But I'll believe it when I see it. I go back to 2 years ago when he didn't look like the same player, the same great player. Last year he was, but I just kind of wondered how much was left in the tank, how much desire was left in the tank for him.
It wasn't so much just Rodgers, how bad the Green Bay defense looked. I know Winston didn't throw for a ton of yardage, but what, 5 TDs? And I wasn't buying the Packers hype that they could win the NFC and Rodgers can go get a Super Bowl in what appears to be his final season in Green Bay. Man, you know, this might be a NFC East from last year where 7 wins might get you, you know, 7-8 wins might get you the NFC North championship.
Well, if everybody keeps losing, you know, they can't all keep losing. They got to play each other 6 times and all that. But it just didn't seem right with them at all yesterday. And you know, maybe some the issues they've had on the offensive line. They lost their starting center to free agency. They lost their left tackle, Bakhtiari. He's out for I don't know how long. You know, he got hurt late last season. That made a difference. You know, made a difference in the NFC Championship game when he wasn't there to play left tackle. So it's look, when it goes, especially on veteran players, it can go in a hurry. Now, look, in my preseason picks, I picked the Packers to win the NFC North, with the Chicago 2nd, Detroit 3rd, Minnesota 4th. But I didn't certainly see another 13-3 season for the Packers.
Micah, final thoughts here. With how good Sewell looked at left tackle compared to bad he looked at right tackle during the preseason, you're the Lions, and you're not paying Taylor Decker the normal left tackle crazy franchise money. Do you think Decker would be willing to go to right tackle where you know Sewell handled Bosa? Like I said, Pro Football Focus, I think, had him as the 3rd highest Lion out of that game. Could we see Decker go to right tackle and Sewell stays at left tackle when Decker comes back from the hand injury in the IR?
Yeah, he's due to come back after, or he's eligible to come back after 3 weeks under the new rules. That doesn't mean it's going to be 3 weeks, though. Just, you know, I don't know, and I'm not sure what I would do. I'm really not. I mean, Decker would have to be fully invested in making the switch. I would, you know, it couldn't be one of those, okay, if that's what you want. He's been around. He's been too good for the Lions. But it's certainly Penny Sewell. If there's any doubt among the people out there who wondered, and I never did, by the way, wondered if the Lions took the right player. Yeah, they took the right player at number 7. Absolutely 100%.
Hey, you saw it yesterday. He was amazing against Bosa. And Bosa, you know, normally he doesn't say a lot. He had nothing but superlatives when talking about Penei Sewell. You can follow the Lions leading up to their game 2 road trip 1 week from tonight at Lambeau, Monday Night Football against Rodgers. And the Packers followed it all 24/7 at DetroitLions.com. Michael, appreciate your time, my friend.
Okay, great being with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Michael Herod joining us on the Meyer Guest Line. Meyer proud to be longtime partners with your Detroit Lions. Also, Meyer is proud to partner with youth teams, high schools, junior colleges, 4-year schools, pro teams, minor league teams all across Michigan. So what that means is when you're shopping at your local Meijer, you are shopping for your local community. Your comments on the Lions, Michigan State, and more at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook. Also, opt in on the Huge text chain. Text the word HUGE to 21,000. And if you put in your NFL picks in the Beat Huge contest, we have one final game tonight. You can check where you stand right now against my picks. Just log on and check the standings in week 1 at thehugeshow.net.